Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Becca Bruner.
Well, it is hard to believe it is December 22nd already. I don't know about all of you, but my basement is pretty much overrun with Amazon boxes. There's a door that Dave went to go lock, make sure the house was secure last night, and it wasn't locked, but it's okay because the amount of crushed cardboard in front of that door, we said, you know, if somebody made it in, they deserve it. They deserve everything. If they fought through that pile, it's theirs. Laundry is not folded, presents are not wrapped, but we'll get there. It'll be all right. Everything is fine. Christmas is coming and is right around the corner. It's a wonderful joy to be with you to celebrate in this way with our children today. I was thinking back this week, a story I've told some of you before. As you know, I'm pretty staunch on Christmas celebrations cannot start until the day after Thanksgiving. That's a rule in my world. But once Thanksgiving is passed, you know, game on, we're all for it. And so it was the day after Thanksgiving a couple years ago, and I wanted to get everybody in the Christmas spirit. My sister or my parents were visiting from out of town, and this is when we lived over in Princeton. So it was just Dave and I and Eleanor and my parents, and I said, let's do something to get in the Christmas spirit. And up in the town center in Princeton, they had the ceremony where they light the candles, or not the lights on the tree, right? You know, the big deal. So let's go to that. Let's get in the Christmas spirit. And so we did, and it was something. What it was we were trying to get in the Christmas spirit. And so if that means that getting stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic, finding a parking place that was at least 8 miles from our destination, running, we had Eleanor in the stroller, and we were running from our car to the ceremony to make it there on time, and kind of had to elbow all the people, neighbors and friends, out of our way to get our spot for the vantage point to see the tree being lit, and then stand there for a good hour in the cold with all those newly acquired friends and neighbors waiting for the tree to be lit. Well, if that's the definition of getting in the Christmas spirit, we nailed it. Got it right there. So we stayed just long enough to see them light that tree in all its 30,000 light glory or whatever it was. And as soon as it was glowing, we were out of there, because all 8 million of our friends and neighbors who had joined us on that day to see that tree lit, well, they were all going to be making their exit too, and we didn't want to be stuck in traffic a second time. So we ran back to our car, piled everyone in. You know, my favorite part is kid in the car seat with the coat. You know, that's good fun. So finally got everyone in the car, started to drive away. And Eleanor, who I think was 2 at the time, said, just proclaimed from her car seat in the back, "Christmas is over." And I thought, well, not soon enough, but I think about that, and I think, you know, how many of us can relate? You know, December 1st hits, and we rush from place to place, getting stuck in traffic, fighting for parking spots, fighting through cranky crowds, doing our own best to not blow up at our nearest and our dearest in the process. And before we know it, Christmas is over. And somehow, some years, that happens. We get in all this rush, and Christmas gets to be over, and we kind of feel like we've missed it. Do you ever feel that way? You know, Christmas comes, and it goes, and it's just, I missed it. Well, if that's ever been your experience, I want you to know you're not the only one. You're not the only one who's missed Christmas. You know, very first Christmas, 2,000 some years ago, there were angels, there were shepherds, there were wise men who found it, but there were a whole lot of people who missed it, and it was right under their nose. You know, just to name a few, the religious leaders, they missed Christmas. Herod, the political leader, he missed Christmas. Even that innkeeper who sent Mary and Joseph off to find a place to sleep in his own stable, even he missed it. And they all had their different reasons, but they all shared one in common. They missed Christmas because they wouldn't go to Bethlehem. They wouldn't go to Bethlehem. And so I want to say the same thing for us this morning. We miss risking or we risk missing Christmas this season if we won't go to Bethlehem. This message has one point because there's a lot of kids and a lot of stuff still yet to do. So I want you to remember it. One point. If you want to find Christmas this season, great thing to do would be to go to Bethlehem. We just heard our children tell beautifully that story we know so well about how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And so if you want to find Christmas, it's a great place to go for yourself. So on December 24th, 1865, there was a pastor from right here in Philadelphia who discovered just how true this was. His name was Philip Brooks, and he pastored the Church of the Holy Trinity from 1862 to 1869. And in those years, he grew that church from just a few faithful to standing room only on Sundays. And he himself grew in quite a bit of fame. He became well-known around the country for his powerful preaching and his outspoken stance against slavery. But as often happens, as his ministry grew more and more successful, Brooks found himself getting more and more exhausted. He was physically, emotionally, just spiritually spent. See, at this time, the country was deep into the Civil War, and everybody knew somebody who'd either been injured or killed in battle. And so people came to church looking for help. People came to church looking for hope. And week after week, Brooks felt less and less able to give his congregation the peace that they needed so badly. Well, when the war finally did end, the visibly fatigued pastor began to feel a little bit of relief, but it didn't last long. Because those who know our history know that it was just not very long after the declaration of the end of the Civil War that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. And of all people, of all pastors in the country, it was Philip Brooks who was asked to come to Washington, D.C. and deliver the sermon for Abraham Lincoln's funeral. And he did. He went and he delivered that sermon, but it took everything he had. He had to dig down deep, and he delivered that sermon. He gave it literally all he had, and he was done. And so that following Christmas, Brooks knew that he had nothing to give, and so he took a sabbatical. He stepped down, and he decided to travel to the Holy Land. And so it was there, that Christmas Eve, 1865, Brooks found himself kind of surrounded by all these other tourists just all smooshed in together in the city of Jerusalem, and he wanted to get away. And so he rented a horse, and he actually took that horse, and he rode out into the countryside. And he rode out to this desolate land, this desolate countryside, to just be alone with his thoughts. And it was there at dusk that Brooks didn't know it yet, but he was about to find Christmas. It was under a clear sky as the first stars began to emerge. He rode into that still tiny and remote village of Bethlehem. And he recalled the story as he was riding through. The story from Luke came into his mind of the birth of the Savior and being there in that place in Bethlehem that had been relatively unchanged since the days of Jesus. He looked around, and as you can imagine, kind of the story came to life for him. And there on those streets of Bethlehem, Brooks found Christmas. He would later tell his family that the experience was so overwhelming that it would just be forever singing in his soul. Upon returning home, it took years for the prolific writer and speaker to find any words to express just how meaningful that experience in Bethlehem had been. It wasn't until 3 years later, Christmas 1868, that he finally found the way. Recollecting that powerful night, Brooks sat down to write, and the words of this poem that we all now know came to mind, and he wrote them down. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So that's one point. If you want to find Christmas, if you don't want to miss Christmas this year, good thing to do would be to go to Bethlehem. Philip Brooks discovered this. For him, that was a literal thing. For us, it doesn't have to be. For us, Bethlehem can be just about anywhere. See, all we have to do is to go where Jesus is. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in utter poverty, on the fringes. Jesus joined the ranks of the lost and the lowly, the friendless and the forgotten, the hurting and the homeless. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We find him, we find Christmas when we join those ranks as well. Oscar Romero was the Archbishop of the Catholic Church in San Salvador in the 1970s, and he wrote these words. He said, "No one can celebrate a genuine Christmas without being truly poor. The self-sufficient, the proud, those who, because they have everything, look down on others. Those who have no need even of God, for them there will be no Christmas. Only the poor, the hungry, those who need someone to come on their behalf, they will have that someone. That someone is God. Emmanuel, God with us. Without poverty of spirit, there can be no abundance of God." So we talk about at Christmas about how God is Emmanuel, God with us. And it's true, Jesus is God with us, with all of us. He comes to show and to share God's love with everyone. But we miss something. We miss something of that love. We miss something of Christmas when we stay home. When we stay comfortable. So if we want to find Christmas, we have to go to Bethlehem. And I want to close just by sharing a story of what that looked like for my family just a few years ago. So just a couple days before Christmas, and I knew I was at risk of missing it. You know, I was busy with all the stuff, doing all the things in the church, putting on Christmas for everybody else, but I wasn't feeling it. I was tired, I was cranky, and I was empty, and I knew I needed to get myself to Bethlehem. And so I recall the tradition that my parents started with my sister and I when we were little. And so told Dave, and what we started, he got out his guitar, and we worked up a couple carols that we could sing together. I grabbed a few plates and put together some Christmas cookies, and we dressed Eleanor, who was just 6 months old at the time, in her cutest little Christmas dress, and we drove over to our local county-run nursing home. And we asked the staff there if we could visit some people who didn't have anybody else visiting, some people that maybe felt a little forgotten, a little alone at this time of year. And so they thought together and came up with 5 different rooms, people that we could go and visit. And so we did. Each room we went, we shared the plate of cookies, we sang a few songs, we let Eleanor just work her charm as only a 6-month-old baby can. And I got to tell you, in that place we found Christmas. We found it most acutely, most poignantly in a couple that we met, the very last room. Their names were Jack and Phyllis. Jack was a resident of the nursing home, and Phyllis was his wife, who was just in visiting and didn't know what the situation was, but it was clear that something had robbed Jack of just a good portion of his basic functioning. He had a hard time controlling his movements and his speech, but he was sharp as a tack. His room was covered with St. Louis Cardinals gear, so clearly he was a fan. And as we were talking and getting to know each other, my husband confessed. He said, "I see you're a Cardinals fan. I'm a Cubs fan myself." And took him a second to get the words out, but what he said was, "Well, I won't hold that against you." And Jack and Phyllis, they seemed relatively pleased that Dave and I were visiting, but it was very clear that Eleanor was the real star of the show. And so I asked Phyllis if she'd like to hold Eleanor. And oh man, she could not get her arms around that baby faster. And as Dave and I sang Silent Night, I got this different vision of that little town of Bethlehem. Like all the paintings and the pictures we see of the Holy Family with Mary and Joseph looking lovingly at the baby Jesus between them, I saw Jack and Phyllis absolutely transfixed by Eleanor. They didn't take their eyes off of her for 1 second. And I could tell, you know, the cookies, that was fine. Dave and I's well-tuned harmonies, they could have taken them or left them. But this baby, she was the real gift of Christmas for them. And for a moment, they became that holy family. And as I sat and watched the three of them together, I found Christmas. If you're like me this morning and you're kind of still waiting for Christmas to hit you, may I suggest that you could go to Bethlehem. Go where there are people in need. Go to people in pain. Go to someone who needs someone else to show them that they care. You know, I know it's busy. I know it feels like it's December 22nd, Christmas is almost here, Christmas is almost over. Well, if you follow the liturgical calendar, Christmas hasn't even started yet. December 25th, it starts, and that's just Partridge in a Pear Tree Day. You got 12 more days after that. You got plenty of time. So find Christmas in Bethlehem. Pray, ask God what that might be for you, where that might be for you. It may be visiting a nursing home like we did. Maybe serving a meal at a homeless shelter. It may be coming alongside and listening to a person who's in pain. Maybe sharing the gospel with someone who's never heard. I don't know where your Bethlehem is, but I do know that when you go there, you're going to find Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who does not keep yourself far off, but you come to us so close as a little baby. And so we pray that you would make yourself known to each one of us. Help us to find Christmas in loving and serving you, especially in the least of these. Help us to find our way to Bethlehem. Amen.